This morning, I hope everyone could tell that it is Easter.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this morning, last night about 11 o'clock, there was just a difference in the air. I can't even explain it. And this morning, when I stepped out on the back porch, it's just awesome. It just felt so good. We serve a risen Savior, and it is in the air, folks. I'm telling you, it was a wonderful, wonderful feeling for the day. Our series that we've been doing has been undefeated, and we are undefeated. We are not defeated by death. We're not defeated by anything. We are undefeated because Jesus is alive. He has rose again. Amen. Isn't that awesome that we have a message that we can proclaim and know it is the truth? That is for sure. You know, as I was thinking about the service this morning and throughout the week, we'll be reading out of Matthew this morning, 28, 1 through 20. And I thought about the week of Jesus and every day what went on in Jesus' life. Last Sunday, Brian was talking about Palm Sunday, and it being Palm Sunday, well, we have the opportunity to see Jesus coming in on a donkey. We know that as he comes in on this donkey that the people are happy. They was expecting one to come riding in on maybe a big white stallion, but he's come in on a donkey, and they had put down palm leaves and everything for him. And so we see that everything's wonderful on last Sunday. Everything's wonderful. But as each day progressed, things begin to go downhill. Sometimes, folks, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes my week is like that. Each day from Sunday, things seem to go downhill. And as they go downhill, we seem to give in more and more to the tempter. Amen? Amen. I do. Because we see that it's not in God's will what is happening. Jesus knew that this was God's will, but he knew if there was any way that this cup could be taken away from him, he would really, really love for Jesus to take, for God to take this cup from him. And so we see that it is the whole week, it's a sham, pretty much a sham trial. And the people that are so much against Jesus, just as they are today, folks, there's no difference. We see that in chapter 27, the people are against him. And they think that they're winning. They think that everything that they're doing is they're going to get rid of Jesus. They're going to get rid of him good from now on, for good. He'll be gone. No, they're just thinking they're winning. So many times, folks, the world that we live in, we just think that the world is winning. The world's not winning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the world is not winning because you are undefeated through him, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's prepared a way and a place for us. So we know that they put him on the cross. They took his body down, put him in a grave, and the third day he rose from the grave. And I want us to just hear the scripture this morning. And I'm kind of one of these guys that when I hear the scripture or something read or you tell me a story, I put my own little visual to it, you know, so I can just see the things that's going on. I hope you do, because I can only imagine what it'd be like if you could only see what they're telling you in the scripture. But this video we saw a while ago was awesome. That was awesome because it showed exactly what was happening. The gospel that the young man was sharing with us. So let's just read the scripture this morning and we'll talk about it. Matthew 28, 1 through 20. It was early on Sunday morning. As the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while he was sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. The story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it to today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Then Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, as we see the reading of God's word this morning, we see that it starts out with the women going to the tomb. They were going with spices, and they were going to anoint the body if they could figure out how to get the stone rolled away. It was a big stone, as we saw in the video, and it was a stone that needed to be, would have to be dealt with. So we see that they are going to the tomb, and as they arrive at the tomb, they are early. It's early. It's breaking day. It's the beginning of the day. And suddenly, there's a great earthquake. And the angel of the Lord comes down from heaven, and the stone is rolled aside, and he sat on it. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being where the Lord is, the angel is sitting on the stone? Now stop right there for just a minute, folks. When Jesus was born, it was an angel that came and told that Jesus was God's son, told Mary that she would be bringing forth God's son. Here it is an angel that tells us that the tomb is empty. God has prepared an angel for each of these occasions, not even to say some of the others. But God was in the beginning with an angel and at the end with an angel here at the tomb. I thought that was pretty neat when you stop and you think about it. But we saw his face, the angel's face, was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards were scared to death. They was in fear, total fear and shock. And they fainted. Now that's being scared, folks. That's being real scared. There's been a few times I've been that scared that I could have fainted if I thought it'd done any good. But it wasn't going to do no good. I needed to save my energy so I could run, maybe, what little run I could do. So I can imagine, I can only see this, where that you would be so scared that you could faint. You know, it's so awesome how God placed those soldiers into a sleep so that not only Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away, folks, to get out. He was already gone. Jesus had already gotten out of the grave. He needed the stone was rolled away so that the people could come in to see that it was empty. They had to get in. It wasn't that Jesus needed a way out. They needed a way in. And so, folks, we see that this stone being rolled away allowed these women to have time to look and to see what was actually happening. And then the angel told them to go quickly. Don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. It's nothing to be afraid of, but go quickly. And they, the Bible says, don't be afraid, he said. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Jesus has told us this has told the disciples this all of his life here on this earth. This is the way it's going to happen, folks. This is what's fixing to take place. The disciples had been with him 3 years, and yet they did not get it. They weren't listening. They were not in tune with what he was saying. They heard it, but they didn't understand it. They didn't take time to comprehend it. Folks, that is the way we are today. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back again. I can't tell you when. He said he doesn't even know when. God the Father knows. He don't know, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, the disciples weren't prepared for him to leave the first time. And they were with him every day, working with him, knowing him better than anyone. And here we are with the world in front of us and us giving more time to the world each week than we're giving to God. We're not giving him hardly any of our time, really and truly, what we could be. And here we are with this in front of us. And so we're saying, he's coming back, but, you know, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be today. We're going to go home, eat a big Easter dinner, and take me a nap, you know. It's not going to happen today, Mike. We ain't got to worry about that. This is the way they were living. But the angel had told them not to be afraid, that he had risen from the dead. Come, he said. Come and let's see where the body was lying. When they went in, they realized that the tomb was empty. So then he told them, go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. And remember what I have told you. You know, folks, he says to the women, you go tell the disciples, I'm going to Galilee. They need to be on their way to Galilee to meet me. But really, what happened? They went and locked herself in a room. They scared to death. They're thinking, man, if these people that's killed him hears that we're still around, they're going to kill us too. This is, even though he's risen from the dead, I don't really think I'm going to be rising from the dead. I don't know. I don't really want them killing me today. And so they locked themselves in a room. Then they went to Galilee. But Jesus appeared to them. He appeared to them behind closed doors. And he appeared to them at Galilee. The story at Galilee is one of my most favorite stories in the whole Bible, where he had prepared breakfast for them. And I hope you look at that. And you take a little time to really look at it and really study it. Because it shows how much not only did God love us enough to send his son, and Jesus loved us enough to die, but he loves us so much, he meets every need we have. and he was meeting the disciples' needs that morning. So the women ran quickly from the tomb, and they were frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And when he ran to, and they ran to him, grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." And so we know, folks, that as they went to Galilee, when they got to Galilee, they didn't see Jesus right then. Peter said, "Hey, I don't know. I mean, you know, I know what Jesus has been telling us and all of this." And the women said, "Go to Galilee and we're going to find Jesus." And Peter's saying, I just don't know, you know. I'll tell you what, boys, I'm going fishing. That sounds like a good plan when you ain't got nothing. You don't know what's going to happen, what's happening, and you don't know what's going on. Let's go fishing. That's a good thing to do. And that's just what Peter did. And as they fished, we know that when they arrived, their nets had not broken. They had a terrible catch. And we know that they'd had a terrible night with it. But then they got to the shore. They had a large catch because of Jesus. We know that Jesus already had prepared breakfast for them. We know that he not only had cooked fish, but he had bread there as well. So we know that Jesus knew their need. He knew what they liked. He knew what they desired, and he was there to show them the love that he had for them and to restore Peter. You see, as guards were wondering what they were going to tell the people in town, they were all tore down. Folks, we see this every day today. They make up stories every day as to what they want the world to know, and they want the people to believe. And then they put it out there, and the news tells everyone what they want you to know and believe. That's how we live. We're living the same life that they're living right here. They just didn't have TV. They didn't have the people to tell them the things that they needed, but they paid the guards a big bribe, it said. Now, they didn't give them $5. They paid them. They paid them well. And they said, you go back and you tell everyone that the disciples came and they stole the body. Folks, there's people that believe that right today. It hadn't been long ago I spoke to a woman, a Jewish lady, and she was telling me, "No, what you believe is not true, Mike. This is the way we believe." I said, "Ma'am, I'll just leave you with one question. I'm not going to try to argue with you," because she was, she didn't like what I had to say about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I said, "Ma'am, you're saying that he is alive, that he is dead, and the guard said that the disciples came and stole the body." I said, "Ma'am, we know this is not true." And I said, "So why would you not believe what the Bible says and know that it's the truth instead of believing just a story that the Jews have made up? Why would you do that?" Because they know more than this Word of God. And not all of them, but a lot of them still practice that today. Folks, if it's written in this Bible, I'm going to believe it over any kind of story that Brian might tell me he knew. As much as I love Brian, if he's telling me a story that he's just thinking this is the way it all went down, and I look right here and I'd say, "Hey, I believe it went down a little different than that." I'm going to believe what I can read, not what I'm just seeing or hearing in my ear. So this is what we have. We have people today, folks, that do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, he is alive. and the Holy Spirit lives within us. If you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, if you follow Him personally each and every day, the Holy Spirit lives within you. His Spirit. And so we see that as we go on and they arrive at the mountain there in Galilee, the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some of them doubted. Would we have doubted, folks, had we been there? Would we have doubted that that was Jesus that had prepared breakfast for us on the beach if we were those 11 disciples? It's a good possibility I might have doubted. I don't know about y'all, but I might have doubted. I think there was a lot of doubts in that boat when they said, "There's Jesus." And it says that He came and told His disciples that I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey my commands and that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now let's think about this just for a moment, folks. Jesus told them to go to the mountain and He would meet them there. You know, if you look back kind of in the gospel, you see that Jesus was on the mountain when He gave the Sermon on the Mount. He was on the mountain. This mountain's pretty important to Jesus because He was on the mountain when He was transfigured to the three disciples. He rejected the devil on the mountain. He was on the mountain when the devil came to Him. You know, when He declares all authority over heaven and earth, He's on the mountain. And when He, you know, tells the disciples to go and make disciples, He's on the mountain. Folks, Jesus loved fishing. He loved to fish. He loved the mountains. But I think there's a significance there because if you look back in the Old Testament, if you look back through the Old Testament into the New Testament, lots of things always happened on the mountain. Lots of things happened on the mountain. God, you were closer to God. You know, God came down and Moses was on the mountain. He spoke to him and He gave him the Ten Commandments. Because I think Jesus went up on the high mountain so He could be as close as He could to the Father. I don't know where your mountain's at. I don't know where you need to be the closest you can be to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everyone's different. Everybody's different. I love to be in a fishing boat. I love to be there with my buddies or even by myself. I also love to be on a motorcycle. That's where I'm very, very close and have time to think and to focus. That sounds crazy to a lot of people, but to me it's not. I love to be in the windshield of any vehicle. Because if I'm in the windshield of any vehicle and I have the radio turned off, me and the Lord have some really good talk. I also love to be on my knees in my living room floor. Awesome. Awesome time with the Lord when nobody else is up. And it's just me and Him. Folks, I don't know where your mountain's at. Around here, you'd have to go east or go west to find one. There's a couple of big hills, a few big hills around here. But you have a place that you enjoy being. You have a place that you see God and meet God. That doesn't mean that you get up there on Sunday morning and you go to that place and stay there and don't come to church. Because you need your battery recharged. It'd be like taking the alternator off your car and saying, well, I'll just run it without an alternator. Yeah, today you might, but tomorrow you won't, because you'd be dead. So you've got to be recharged, and you're recharged by being in the family of God. You're recharged by hearing His Word. You're recharged by being in His presence. And folks, our goal at Grace Life Church is to bring the Word of the Gospel to each and every one of us. Not only you, but to me as well. Each and every one of us, each week, that we can hear this Word and we can be drawn closer to know and to know God and to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our desire. This is God's desire. It's not our desire. It's God's desire that we be all be like this, that we desire to come together, desire to be together, and desire to hear the Word. Folks, today, you serve a risen Savior, and He's all the world to me, and I hope He is to you, because He has prepared a place for you. He said, if it wasn't so, I would tell you. It is so. He's prepared a place for you. And so when we leave this world, when we leave this world, and we will, every one of us, we're going to leave this world. When we leave this world, we have a place prepared for us. He even says He has a mansion prepared for us. So know that His death, burial, and resurrection wasn't in vain. It was so we can have eternal life. It's so that we can know He loves us that much, that He was willing to die on that cross for our sin and pay our sin debt. I hope you take that message and go back into the world, not only tomorrow, but the days ahead and the weeks and the months and years ahead. And you know, folks, without a doubt, that you are His son, His daughter. You know that you belong to Him if you have accepted Him and live a life pleasing unto Him. Folks, I love you, and I know Jesus and God loves you more than I do. And I want you to know that, because sometimes we all have times in our lives where we are kind of down, we're kind of afraid, we're kind of wondering, is this the way life's going to be? No, it's not. It's not, because we have Jesus beside us holding our hand. He walks with us, and He will talk with you as well. Remember that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.